Let's read together Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Now, in this first section of Luke chapter 11, we have the well-known Lord's Prayer and also some important teaching about prayer. Let's begin by reading the first four verses. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 11 with some background notes. In these first four verses of Luke chapter 11, we have the well-known so-called Lord's Prayer. Now, we say so-called Lord's Prayer because it is nowhere in Scripture called the Lord's Prayer, and it would be better entitled the Disciples' Prayer. The Lord never prayed this prayer. The Lord did not have to pray, forgive us our sins, or lead us not into temptation, verse 4. So the so-called Lord's Prayer was given to the disciples as a model or pattern for praying. It was not given to be used in a liturgical way in church services. Now, it's not wrong to repeat the Lord's Prayer in church services, but we never read of the early church in the book of Acts using the prayer in this way, and there is no exhortation in the epistles to any church to use the Lord's Prayer in this way. So we believe the well-known but misnamed Lord's Prayer was not meant to be prayed liturgically or repetitiously or as a ritual, but it was meant to be a model or pattern for praying. The disciples had observed the Lord praying on many occasions, and they requested that the Lord would teach them to pray. And so the Lord gave his disciples a pattern for praying, which is still good today. And that brings us then to our doctrinal points for this first portion of Luke chapter 11. So doctrinal point number one, the Lord gave believers a pattern for praying. The Lord gave believers a pattern for praying. Our Father, we come to God as our Father. This close family relationship was unknown to Old Testament believers. Hallowed be thy name. Prayer should begin with the worship of God. Thy kingdom come. We long for and look forward to Christ's future kingdom that will be set up here on this earth. Give us this day our daily bread. We depend on the Lord to meet our basic needs. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. As believers, we need to confess our sins in order to maintain fellowship with the Lord. And we can't expect to have fellowship with the Lord if we are unwilling to forgive others when they wrong us. And lead us not into temptation. That is, may we not be led into situations where we will be tempted to do wrong. We know that we are weak and vulnerable and prone to sin. May we be preserved and kept from falling. And deliver us from the evil one. Not just evil, but the evil one, Satan, the enemy of our souls. The Lord's Prayer is a wonderful model for us to follow. The Lord gave believers a pattern for praying. Doctrinal point number two, the Lord gave believers a principle for praying. The Lord gave believers a principle for praying. Verses 5 through 10, Luke chapter 11, beginning now at verse 5. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend? And go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. This section of Scripture has caused some confusion in the minds of some Christians because of verse 7. In verse 7, the man says to his friend, "Don't bother me. Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." Now, if the man represents God answering prayer, does this not give a negative image of God? It seems at first glance that the passage is teaching that God would rather not be bothered with our prayers and only reluctantly answers when we are persistent and twist God's arm. Well, this passage is not teaching such a negative image of God. First of all, this is not a parable, but an illustration. Key idea here. The man does not represent God as in a parable. This is an illustration that the Lord gave to illustrate the principle of don't give up when you pray just because you don't get an immediate answer. Continue to pray. Continue to ask. Continue to seek. Continue to knock. If a reluctant neighbor will answer the needs of a friend, how much more will God, as our Heavenly Father, answer our prayers and meet the needs of His children? There may be all kinds of reasons why the Lord does not always answer our prayers right away. But don't give up. The Lord does hear, and as we continue to pray and ask and seek and knock, our prayers will begin to line up more with the will of God. And we will receive, and we will find, and the door will be opened. So don't come at this passage as a parable with a man representing God, but rather as an illustration that the Lord gave of a principle for praying. Now, if I told you to be as dedicated to your Christian service as the mafia is to their occupation, I am not equating you in any way to the mafia, as I would be if I was giving a parable. I'm just using the mafia as an illustration of total dedication. So the Lord gave believers a principle for praying. Doctrinal point number 3. The Lord gave believers a promise for praying. The Lord gave believers a promise for praying. Verses 11 through 13. Luke chapter 11, beginning now at verse 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In these verses, God promises us that he will only give us good gifts. He will never deceive us with the gifts that he gives, such as giving a rounded stone that just looks like a roll or loaf of bread. And he will never give us gifts that might scare us or harm us, such as a snake or a scorpion. No, the Lord is our Heavenly Father, and as earthly fathers, who are not perfect and are even sinful, give good gifts to their children, how much more does our Heavenly Father give good gifts to his children? What a promise. And the best gift, of course, for God's children, and the gift that we most need, and the gift that God most desires to give, is the Holy Spirit. That promise of verse 13 was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. The Lord gave believers a promise for praying. Now, what about practical application from this first portion of Luke chapter 11? Don't pray unscriptural prayers. Don't pray unscriptural prayers. To pray for the Holy Spirit to be given to you would be an unscriptural prayer today if you are a believer. But wait a minute. Doesn't verse 13 encourage us to pray for the Holy Spirit? Listen, verse 13 was spoken to the disciples before the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Since Pentecost, all believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says that believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 indicates that if the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in a person, that person is not a believer. Let's just read that verse, right? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Romans 8, verse 9. So we don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not wrong for believers to pray that we would be led by the Holy Spirit and taught by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit and enabled by the Holy Spirit. But we don't have to pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as the disciples did. The Holy Spirit has come to indwell the church as the body of Christ, and he indwells every individual Christian. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And our individual bodies as believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So believers today do not have to pray for the Holy Spirit. Don't pray unscriptural prayers. Practical application number 2. Let's teach the importance of prayer by our example. Let's teach the importance of prayer by our example. Question. Why did the disciples ask the Lord to teach them to pray? Answer, because the Lord put a great emphasis on prayer as proved by his example. Notice from verse 1 that it was right after our Lord finished praying that the disciples asked for instructions on how to pray. Let me ask you a question. Did anyone ever ask you to teach them to pray? No? I wonder why. Maybe if we prayed more, people would ask us how to pray. The disciples asked because they saw the importance of prayer by our Lord's example. Often we find the Lord praying in the gospel record. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we read, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Mark 1:35. This was intrinsic to the lifestyle of our Lord. He prayed early as he began the day. The disciples were still sleeping, but the Lord was praying because prayer was important. In Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, we read, "And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. The Lord prayed often because prayer was important. The Lord took the phone off the hook, as it were, and slipped away often to pray. We read in Luke chapter 6 that before the Lord chose the 12 apostles, he spent the whole night in prayer because prayer was important. No wonder the disciples asked the Lord to teach them to pray. They saw the importance of prayer in our Lord's example. We too should both realize the importance of prayer and teach the importance of prayer. Let's teach the importance of prayer by our example.